Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, how sweet that is. I'm John DeSando.
I'm Ezra Hoover.
And this is Back Talk. We have a movie. It's called 28 Years Later. I had my phone on there just so you get an idea. I think there's a little bit of technology in this.
There is. And that would set every zombie after us in a 10 square mile radius. So keep your phone on silent.
28 Days Later.
First one. Yes, a cult classic. Beyond a cult classic. I think it was a commercial success too.
All right.
But nothing has really captured that gritty survival element. The pacing is fantastic. And the classic story of a guy who just wakes up in the hospital, he doesn't know what's happening.
All
and
right.
We as the audience discover what's happened to the world, as he does too.
So on 28 Years Later, which is the film that's out there now, mm-hmm. I'm saying there are members of the family, teenagers and up, who might enjoy this film. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely. Fantastic.
But isn't it really grimy and gory? You talked about gritty for the first
one. Oh, it's definitely rated R. For any fan of the genre, I think it's a great choice. You got to watch it. It may not be what you're expecting. I would say if you're going to watch this, just get rid of your expectations. Come with an open mind.
This is survivalist stuff. People worry about zombies, and we got some pretty grimy creatures in
this. We do.
That's, I would say, undebatably the most successful part of this movie is the visual effects. Fantastic. And the interesting part is the evolution. 28 Days Later, the first movie was shot on what was new technology at the time, digital video, which looks awful. It looks absolutely terrible, worse than VHS. And now we come full circle, and this one was shot mostly on a rig with a bunch of iPhones on it. There's not even a movie camera. It's shot mostly on iPhone. And that allows them to do a lot of really cool things where you can switch your point of view in a second. So you get a lot of these 360 cut views, which is very cool.
A lot of quick cutting.
Yeah.
The story's not that unusual, right?
No, it's not. And I think that's where a lot of fans who are expecting just a continuation of the first one may be disappointed. It's not so focused on the virus itself and the origins and progressing and saving humanity. It's just personal, a human story.
There's so much less of the weird zombie stuff on this.
Right.
And then you add human weird with Dr. Kelson.
Right, right,
Ralph,
right.
Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Fiennes is fantastic. I mean, he went all for it. He's bright orange.
Yeah.
Almost reminds us of a certain
grade.
It looks fantastic.
Because they have to take mom to get treatment. It's not like you can go to Children's Hospital and just, right? You
can't. Nope.
And with one of the visually most striking and unforgettable images, their
Absolutely.
Cone tower
right.
of skeletons.
And that's what's something that I appreciated, because the interesting part about this series is each new installment is a progressively larger gap of time. The first is just days, and then is weeks and months. Now it's years. So to live with these zombies for years, I want to see something weird. Something crazy has to be happening for this to go on for decades.
Yes.
And it does not disappoint.
Yeah.
It is weird.
And in talking about the commonality of the storyline, you have to build a stockade to protect yourself.
Yes.
It's like going back decades and centuries of what we've always done. We've barricaded ourselves against the bad guys.
From the invading barbarians, like the Romans, building the wall against the barbarians, essentially.
Right.
There's fake historical footage of medieval times, of people shooting arrows from battlements. What did you think the director was trying to say with that?
In the simplest level, I think he's trying to connect us over the centuries.
Right.
They're using arrows now in this one.
Right.
In our superhero movies, they're still have fisticuffs.
Right.
How do you do that when you're technology?
Well, and something that bothered me from a logistics standpoint is you're going out on a run, a survival run, into the dangerous. They have bows and arrows that they hand carve, which is cool. It's kind of tying back the history of the British, the English, and their famous archery. But bring a stick, There's no club, no hand-to-hand weapon. The zombie's running at you. If you're out of arrows, you're done.
I'm worried every time they show the arrows.
Right.
Does he have enough arrows?
I know. I'm always counting the arrows every time.
So it's a coming-of-age story as well.
It is.
This young actor.
Alf, so he's actually 14. But he plays a 12-year-old boy.
Right.
But someone who is in a post-apocalyptic universe, I think he's appropriate.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic. And this may be what's jarring for a lot of fans, is they're not expecting a young man's coming-of-age story. They just want to see zombies running around the corner and breaking through windows. There's a lot of heavy emotional topics, the death of his mother and the mistrust of his father, disappointment.
The sequence, what I thought was so interesting.
Yes.
And here we're in this high-grade zombie film.
Right.
And the kid is watching dad getting it off with some young chick.
Right, as his mom is dying at home.
Now,
in
that's
bed.
Pretty base. However, mom is clearly on her way out.
Right.
So there's some justification for dad after they've had this long journey, big celebration.
Right.
And then this hot chick hits on dad.
Exactly.
You know, it's not quite as bad, I thought, as it is in reality.
And I think that's one of the strengths of this movie. The characters are well-rounded.
Yes.
There's no one-sided, except the zombies maybe, but there's no one-sided characters. There's depth.
Yeah.
The dad is being a jerk. He's being a horrible person, but maybe you can understand why his motivation is that way.
Yeah.
I think the heaviest part for me of this movie was that this young man, that manhood just hits him all at once. Turns 12, and they have this tradition. He has to go outside and kill people. His dad makes him drink until he's drunk, and then he learns the truth about his dad all at once, and then he has to suddenly become a man all at once.
Yep.
And I think that's what this is about.
Going out on this is not only to slaughter some more, they can't get them all, some more zombies, is for him to grow up.
Right.
And boy, does he grow up fast.
Right. Maybe too fast, which is another potential criticism of this movie.
Yes,
it's a little quick.
And I worried about it, too. And then I thought to myself, well, you know, I always tell Ezra, I go wherever the director wants me to go. In this case, it's Danny Boyle.
Right.
Who certainly knows his zombie film.
He does. And he's got some interesting takes on it. And he's one of the progenitors, the leading people in this genre. So
yeah.
What do you think about the ending, though? Well, at the end, kind of takes a comedic twist, where there's a bunch of funny guys. It seems almost imported from a completely different genre of movie, almost something like Zombieland characters, which are really comical and dressed in kind of a goofy, funny way. And they have these over-the-top acrobatic kills or doing backflips. Very strange, very jarring tonally.
Yes.
And I was a little surprised that he did that.
And I thought Boyle was playing with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had such serious expectations, and so many of the followers did.
Right.
He's going to thumb his nose at us and say, look, this is all just fun.
Right. Well, it's a trilogy. Will the next one be a comedy now? I don't know. We have these characters breaking the fourth wall, winking at the camera.
So trilogy.
Yes.
In what sense? Because we had 28 days.
Right.
Oh, and then 28 weeks.
28 months was skipped over because the director was busy with another project. But 28 years. So 28 years later is going to be broken up into three movies.
Thank you.
The Hobbit.
I wondered about that.
Yep,
okay.
There's going to be the next one's called The Bone Temple. So I think we'll explore more of what Ralph Fiennes' character is
good,
doing.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yep. So what's the negative in this, do you think? Both of us expressed some concern about the setups.
Right.
Generally speaking, as we're looking at it, can you think of any reason why somebody wouldn't want to go beside?
There's a lot. I think people who are fans of the genre are expecting a straightforward zombie romp the way the first one, 28 Days Later, was. This is not it. This is almost like an A24 version of a zombie movie.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes,
there is some.
Their film.
Right. There's a lot of jokes.
Good.
There's a lot of emotion. If you're not into that, then maybe, you know, skip this one. Although I think it's worth a watch.
This story is so basically simple.
Yeah.
That it is affecting for that reason. That Boyle and Alex Garland, who is the writer.
Right.
Come on, this is warfare and civil war.
Right.
I mean, you got two top dogs doing this movie. They clean it up in the sense of the narrative. You know, you got him going out, they're killing some zombies.
Very simple and direct.
But it hits major human elements.
Yes.
And it says, if you don't like this as a zombie movie, just take it as a regular coming-of-age movie for the kid.
The problem is it's so good at some points, the intense action
that is
occasionally in the movie, that it leaves people wanting more. And he just didn't want to make that kind of movie.
Do you watch other zombie movies?
Oh, my goodness. It's my favorite.
What's your favorite genre. All right. So what do you like about it?
The most interesting part is the collapse of society and seeing what happens. Walking Dead was really popular when it came out.
Ezra, wait a minute. Ezra, you're not hinting at contemporary themes here, are you? Let's bring in our resident liberal.
Okay.
Wayne's not available.
Oh, he's
Let's say what I think he would say about this, that there's a parallel with the current, for instance, political situation.
Maybe, yep.
Do you think there is?
A little bit.
Is that stretching?
Well, you have to go far enough to where you're losing basic services, electricity, water, power, that sort of thing. But when a lawlessness prevails, then certain ugly heads start to rear themselves.
Yes.
Right.
Those who aren't that ilk have to barricade themselves against what would be the lawlessness that is possible.
And in 28 Days Later, that's some of the most disturbing parts of the film, where they find a military base that they think will help them, but actually these are just evil people. They want to use the women and abuse people and everything. So absolutely, people can be the scariest parts of these.
There's a militarism hidden somewhere in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I worry is where we're going, for instance, Los Angeles, just recently.
Oh, yeah.
So you think that's fair?
Yeah.
Boyle doesn't flesh this out much.
Right.
But they've got to be pretty precise in defending themselves.
Right.
I'm thinking of that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That theme is there, and maybe even more in the second 28 weeks later, where England has been completely quarantined, and the U.S. has invaded. And it's almost, some people think it's an allegory for Iraq, the Iraq War.
Oh,
so this is definitely there.
Ezra Hoover, I feel like I've just endured 28 years later from our discussion.
Yes. There are a few of his movies that I have seen. He's a really eclectic director. Yeah. Very, very different genres that he dabbles in.
He hit me with Trainspotting.
Yes, Trainspotting.
You remember that?
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic movie.
What a wild-ass little movie that is.
That was wild. That was a wild movie.
A good indication of what he's capable of getting into.
Right.
And then I would bet even, not maybe better than, but better known.
Mm-hmm.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. That one swept all the awards at the time. Right? Fantastic movie. Really good. I guess that one ties into 28 years later with his focus on small human stories, right? It's
Got
just
it.
About one kid. In the slums. It's a simple story.
Yeah, and it's a survival story, and it's making something of yourself.
Right.
Another one that many people might not have known, but maybe there was a TV series, but there was one sci-fi that I really like, Snowpiercer.
Oh, fantastic. That's a good one.
A new kind of class set up for that.
Right. I won't even talk about the stuff they're eating.
I know, right?
Nightmares.
So there are Danny Boyle elements of this.
Right.
It's the end of the world, and these people are looping around like a kid's toy train set.
Right.
All around and surviving.
Right. And the collapse of society ties these together, you know.
Yeah. How about some other... post-apocalyptic, or I sometimes confuse that because this looks like the apocalypse to me.
It does.
It looks like you're still in it.
It's a zombie apocalypse. Yeah.
Did you ever see The Road?
That's probably one of my favorite post-apocalyptic movies. Viggo Mortensen, right?
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. Really dark movie.
Very, very dark.
Very dark. You'll have to go cry in the corner.
If you want to get the experience of being alone and trying to survive,
does he
have a kid with him?
He does.
Yeah.
And a shopping cart. And there is no silver lining to that movie.
I know.
It's brutal, but it's fantastic.
How about this one? This is easy.
Okay.
Mad Max,
yeah. Yeah, it's different. A testosterone-fueled 12-year-old's vision of the apocalypse,
Right. Except when Charlene Theron, great. But this
is
true. If this is what you're looking for, then go see several of the Mad Maxes.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? Charlize Theron or Anya Taylor-Joy? Which one do you pick?
Theron.
Really?
But Joy is a joy.
She's fantastic.
She really is.
I agree. But Theron has that steely look. And I think she even butted heads with some of the other actors on set because she's serious.
No doubt. She has been a terrific action when she's yet a very fine actress.
Oh, yeah. She's.
Well, we had the Book of Eli,
yes.
Right?
That's a good one. Although, that was a point in Denzel's career where he wasn't the most convincing action star.
He's
a little soft and pudgy, and he's carrying a Bible around and like punching people with it.
However, he got me to go to Amalfi last month.
Oh, did he?
Because of The Equalizer.
Oh, The Equalizer. Okay.
Equalizer set in Amalfi.
Speaking of which, 28 years later, one of my first thoughts was like, wow, this is a beautiful country. I think I need to go visit Scotland.
And the Highlands.
I need to look and see if it was actually filmed there.
Northern England.
The Northern England.
The Highlands.
It's a beautiful, beautiful country.
And a great point. You can talk about it, but the difference between the little encampment, the grimy encampment, and that spacious green, however, hiding
gorgeous.
Some of the goriest crap you ever saw.
Oh, in your life. Some of those flashes of what's happening. And that's another thing I love about this movie is that there is a lot going on, which you expect.
Yeah.
It's been almost three decades. There's mutation. And now some of these zombies are maybe starting to form tribes. It's almost like Planet of the Apes, where they're kind of restarting.
Great illusion. Great illusion. Yes. Right, right. Yes. Yeah.
So they're reforming society. You see them bathing themselves in this really basic way. You know, the Homo sapiens are rising again. And they mention that in previous movies that even if all the humans die, we've only been on the Earth for a blink of an eye.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And like, you know, the Earth would not be affected. So we're kind of restarting humanity and civilization again.
Notwithstanding the zombies and how we might end up like zombies,
okay,
that Planet of the Apes had the best metaphor of them all.
Mm-hmm.
The way in the beginning of 2001,
mm-hmm.
where they're throwing the jawbone up
yes.
and so on.
Yes, with that soundtrack. Fantastic. One of my favorite sci-fi scenes ever. That obelisk.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And our penchant for violence.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he attempts in that film to end it rather coolly and somberly with our poor loner sitting eating by himself
right.
somewhere out in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
But our penchant for violence.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And take a look at the Mideast now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just exploding with violence.
Right, right. You know, that our pension is always there.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't it interesting? Yeah.
I actually like that about this world, this universe that they build, that these movies take place in, because the virus isn't doing anything magical. All it's doing is making people really angry, and that's it.
Yes,
you
yes.
know? There's no funny immortalization. There's no space.
No, right.
Nothing like that. So people get really angry.
And my feeling is that without the virus... Mm-hmm. They're still.
Oh, yeah.
They're
it's
still
there.
Gonna be there.
It's still there.
And we have to go to our own COVID
right.
to understand how traumatic
oh, yeah.
this business is and how it changes. And then when we get leadership right or alt-right or so on, we really are in danger.
We are.
Okay, so I had a few of the others. Dawn of the Dead, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Children of Men.
Did oh, yeah, with Clive Owen.
Yes.
That's a fantastic movie.
Where is he?
Very good.
Where is he?
I don't know.
What a
cool guy. I will always love Clive Owen because he did one of my favorite TV shows called The Nick. It's about a hospital in the 1900s in New York City.
Oh, cool.
Where they have horse-drawn ambulances and everything. But
yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
But that was a great movie, Children.
Well, that's your home place.
It is.
Right?
It is.
That's where you did your medical training.
Correct.
Oh, I had others that are easier to take. Presidents being saved and escape from New York.
Okay.
All right. But this is not really the kind of that we're talking about, but we're talking about apocalypse.
Right.
We're talking about the end coming.
How about Train to Busan?
Oh,
that's a fantastic one.
Excellent.
That's an excellent one.
Oh.
And that's it. It's a really good example of what a director, a good director
yes.
can do. They're just on a train
yeah.
the whole time.
Yeah.
And think of how limiting that is yeah. as a storytelling device.
Same with Snowpiercer.
Right. Right.
You brought up a point that I like it when they concentrate.
Yes.
You know, because I like to get a hold of the characters.
It's focused.
And I like to hear the dialogue.
Right. There's a movie that just came out. I can't remember the name, but with Brad Pitt, and he's on a train.
Oh, yes. Bullet train.
Bullet train.
Good one.
That's a good one.
That's yeah.
a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Very tight, direct. That's
yeah.
a really funny.
And he's coming out with F1.
Oh, yes. Yep. That's coming out very soon. I hear it's going to be real good.
Boy, I hope so. I mean, he deserves it. With all the money he has, he deserves it.
Yeah, he needs more money, I think.
He does.
So when it comes to zombie movies, there's two main umbrellas, fast and slow zombie movies. And
okay.
they're totally different.
Okay.
Because the slow zombies, you can run away from. But the fast one, you die very quickly.
Okay.
So that's the 28 Days Later is that. And then so is Wreck, which is, for anyone that hasn't seen it, fantastic.
No, tell me.
It's just a really basic found footage style horror movie where you're trying to figure out what happens.
Okay.
Very intense. And then speaking of Brad Pitt, World War Z. That's another.
Oh, that's right.
One.
Yeah,
yep.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Ezra Hoover, I see we're at the end.
I could go on.
And it felt like we were just beginning. But anyway, Ezra, I hope we haven't corrupted your new baby, Zoe,
oh, no.
too much.
She's not infected.
Yeah, and I think she's going to be a great film critic.
I hope
so. If I have anything to do with it, it's going to happen.
Yes.
All right. So, Ezra, we have 28 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Boyle's, I believe, masterpiece.
I agree.
I think it stands up there with the best of them. What do you recommend for a family?
Go see it. But just don't bring your kids, maybe.
How about teenagers?
Teenagers, I think, are okay.
I think this is perfect for teenagers.
Yes, yes. There is some violence, some gore, but not much in the way of sexual themes or drug use or anything like that.
And most of that they cut away.
Yes.
Do a really good job of trying to draw in families.
There's a reason for that, by the way. Funny note. I know we're almost out of time. But there's a limited amount of nudity in this movie, even though the zombies are supposed to be naked.
Oh, yes. But it's not attractive.
Well, the reason is... because there is a underage star protagonist, and there are laws against that, so you can't be naked. So all the nudity is all fake and prosthetic, which is pretty
funny. Excellent, it's pretty ugly stuff. It reminds me, I think, when I went to St. Martin, it was the first time that I'd seen a nude beach, I wish we hadn't.
Oh,
Wayne was there, so he could testify. These are people who should not be naked.
I'm sure Wayne didn't participate, did he? We'll leave that for St. Martin.